Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton here with you this morning. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO of Host One Plus, Mr. Vincent Grinius. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm very honored to have this wonderful radio show, and I'm all yours.
Well, we are delighted to have you on the show, and I believe when we spoke on the phone several weeks ago, you were actually in Brazil, but you're calling us. You're in Germany today, yes?
Well, yeah, I just landed in Frankfurt Airport. Yeah, so I'm talking from the airport.
All right, so we'll have a great conversation, and then you can go have one of those marvelous beers that they have in Frankfurt.
Definitely, definitely.
So tell us a little bit about Host One Plus, mission, purpose. What are you trying to do for people?
Well, you know, we actually 10 years now in the business, and we started as a shared web hosting company. When we grew up to technologies where we understood that shared hosting is not a service we would like to provide. And the reason was that we simply understood that B2C market is really crowded. And we thought we need to take approach doing B2B solutions like networking, infrastructure, virtual service, clouds, and all that stuff. So we basically started, small, and, within those 10 years, we grew up to a decent company with a 50-people team. And, we have infrastructure all around the globe, starting from Brazil, LA, Chicago, Frankfurt, London, Johannesburg as well in South Africa. And now we are growing to Asian markets, providing cloud solutions, IP transits, dedicated networking solutions, et cetera, so we are very orientated into B2B, and this is where we are heading to.
Well, congratulations on the momentum. What was the trigger event or events that caused you at some point to just make that decision? Look, we're going to embark on this transformation from B2C to B2B. Was there a straw that broke the camel's back, as we say here sometimes?
Everything starts from the finance perspective. So to be in B2C markets, you need millions. And we have calculated, to be among big players, we simply calculated that we need around 60 million a year to spend on the marketing, which was crazy.
Wow.
And we thought, we need to find our niche where we are good at, and so that we could focus on our strong bones, where we are strong at. And we simply found our market in B2B segments. Everything started from finances. So you simply ask yourself, who are your biggest clients? And 80%, this rule, 80-20. So 20% of the customers were bringing us 80% of the revenue, and they all were B2B. Mm-hmm. So we thought, okay, why we should lie to ourselves? Why we should name ourselves as B2C company, since, all of our major clients are B2B. So that was probably the biggest reason why we actually took that approach.
Well, even change that everybody thinks is a good idea can still be a very tough journey. As you were doing this, were there, over time, some lessons learned where you came out of that and said, hey, these are sort of the key success factors for this kind of transformation so that you're prepared to do it even better next time, or maybe even help our listeners if they're going to go through some major transformation. Maybe you could share some key success factors that you feel like you discovered as you went through this process.
Yeah, so look, you know, we are in technology industry, and you simply must admit that you will fail at some point. So having this in mind, you know, we were not afraid to fail, because the failure is the key for your success. And, well, you know, all overnight stories, you know, have a really long run. So everything happens. Everything happens while you're on this journey, while you actually, you know, checking what's good and what's not. And I can tell you, you know, you always need to be out of your comfort zone to, let's say, see the whole you see the whole picture of what's happening. And so, you know, keeping your hand on the pulse, you can, you know, change accordingly. So, you know, I would recommend from my personal experience to stay out of your comfort zone. That is really a personal thing, but it's really important. And you know, if we would talk about more like a personality thing, I would say that you always need to program yourself to be more positive. Being positive is probably the first key what you have to prepare for yourself. And then you just need to study your finances, you know, how everything grows in your company, or what's not growing. Like, for example, you know, within last year we have removed around 20 products, but you know, our revenue is still growing, which means that you know, those type of products were not successful to us. So here you go. You know, so it's always need to have a hand on the pulse.
So what you're describing to me, it makes perfect sense. It all sounds very logical. And I think it's probably difficult enough for the individual, and even if that individual is the leader of the organization, to make that transition. So congratulations on that. And what I'm curious about is how you are able to affect that kind of personal change in the rest of the organization, because I'm operating under the impression that for this to really work, you needed other people in your organization to behave in that same way. Can you talk a little bit about how to get other people to make the transition as well?
I can tell you that it's all about the clear roadmap and a clear vision of what you're drafting. Having no vision, or, you know, let's say having no roadmap, is just a dream. So, you know, it's always about how you're going to execute this and what you're going to execute. So first thing is to plan your vision. What is your vision? And then you should go backwards and plan how you're going to achieve this. And with that thing, you always motivate your guys to stay in the loop, to you know, to show them your vision, to show what is good and what is bad, what is performing and what it's, you know, could be really useless. So it's really about the vision and roadmap. And I know that many entrepreneurs are really kind of lazy of planning the things. Or if they plan, we simply say, okay, how are we going to execute this? So, you know, it's all about studying yourself understanding the surroundings, what's good or what's bad.
Well, clearly there's a tremendous amount of change in the hosting industry, and it's affecting those of you who are trying to serve people with that technology, and it's affecting those of us who lean on that technology, including us. You know, we have a business radio network. We lean on these kinds of services. Can you speak a little bit to some of the challenges that are kind of right now on board, up in front of everything, everybody knows it, and maybe challenges down the road that you're trying to stay ahead of that we all kind of should keep an eye out for?
My recommendation is to find your niche. If you will find your niche, you're a winner. And that's number one advice what I could give. For example, if you want to provide, a cloud computing, you know, we have a big players, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, you know, they provide cloud solutions as well. And how to compete with them? You know, I was in Dublin a couple of weeks ago in a conference. It was a startup conference, and I was just talking with a couple of startups, and I'm like, guys, what are you using for your infrastructure? And they're like, well, we use Amazon, others use Microsoft and stuff like that. And what is good about them? Well, you know, everything's like fine. But the most important thing, you know, what gives them is $100,000 credit for them to get started. So
whoa.
How can you compete, you know, with those giants?
Right.
when we give, you know, $100,000 in credit. So, and we actually could manage to find our niche in this. You know, in this market, by asking ourselves, what is our uniqueness? What strength we have? Why our clients are using us? And a couple of advices that, you know, each of entrepreneurs should get is actually talk with your clients. Ask them what we need. Ask where is their hustle. You know, what problems you could solve for them. And, you know, this could actually answer a lot of the questions. And it could develop your uniqueness. This is what we did. You know, we've been talking and we still talk heavily with our clients every day, asking what else can we do for you? What problems we can solve for you? And with that, we actually came up to our unique service where, you know, we are sure that this client will stay with us for a very long time because they just simply love us, you know, and we love them. And it's all about trust. It's all about relations. And I know, like, in IT world, you know, many people are really don't like to talk. Really hate to talk because that modern technology, you know, turned us silent. Emails, chats, and all that stuff. But what I can tell you, the handshake still matters. You need to come to your client. You need to greet them. You need to talk to them face to face, in person. And that is really, really an important thing. And of course, developing your uniqueness, that's not something that you could find overnight. No, it's something that you need to develop.
I want to talk to you a little bit about trust, because I get the sense, I've always suspected, I'm not nearly as well traveled as you are. And at this point, our organization, our business radio network is not international. You can hear it internationally, but we don't have studios internationally. But I'm getting the sense from you that some of the just basic tenets of relationship and trust, you know, face-to-face, looking someone in the eye, handing, you know, shaking their hand, actually engaging them in a conversation about what they need, what they want, what are their frustrations. These are things that cross any border, aren't they? They're just as important and just as valid in Germany or Brazil or Japan or wherever as they are in the United States of America. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's number one thing. It's number one thing. You know, that's why many old enterprises still have their account managers who simply just traveling, you know. They do not do anything, you know. We just fly the business class and they meet clients because it's actually, you know, very, very, let's say, important detail, you know, that we usually miss that. And we think that people are engaged by emails or chats. No, they engage by you, by who you are and what they see in you as a person. So the whole team, the whole company should think about, you know, the customer. It should be, you know, a customer-centric thing, not like some individuality, you know. So it's very important to you know, gain the trust by meeting people in person and not by emails, or even video conference would not help, you know. No matter how good the video quality is.
Well, I personally, and actually my whole team, from the phone conversation we had a few weeks ago when we were talking about having the opportunity to do this particular episode, we're inspired and fascinated with your international success. Clearly, one of the keys to this success has been your willingness to get out and meet people face-to-face, build those relationships. What other advice, if any, might you have for any company? And I'm kind of asking selfishly, like for us, if we want to start looking at expanding internationally our business, any other advice or tips or things you might encourage us to do or not do as we try to grow internationally?
Yeah, so, you know, when we actually, it was a funny thing, when we started to expand our business in Brazilian market or in South African market, we thought, oh, okay, you know, everything is the same as in Europe or in the U.S. No, it's not. And clearly, you need to do your homework to see what is the market up there, what, you know, they are. How the marketing acts, how the market acts, and what the channels they're using to reach the audience. What are your competitors in those markets? So you definitely need to do a checklist of the tasks that you need to perform in order to decide should you go to that market. But what I can say, you know, when you decide that you need to go to one or another market, you always need to have, let's say, who are your competitors, what those competitors do, what is their unique proposition, what is the market, you know, how big is the market, I mean. And also, it's very important, the actual law system, because, like, for example, let's take as an example Brazilian market. Yeah, so if you want to have your infrastructure shipped to Brazil, you have to pay 100% on a customs tax. So you can imagine, if your infrastructure costs hundreds of thousands, you need to pay the same hundreds of thousands in custom taxes.
Wow.
So, and also, you know, another thing is that you need to estimate how quickly you're gonna return your investment. This is also pretty important thing. You know, it's like in a restaurant. You open a restaurant, and you say, oh, okay, I have the money for the restaurant to open, but what will happen next? And You know, people do not think, should I have a running cost, you know, and involved, and should I have, you know, the things to advertise, to spread that message that I have opened that restaurant. So you don't need to, you need to not overestimate yourself and really, you know, do the homework and see what's the current situation in that particular market. So it's very important.
Now, when you're examining all of that and you're looking at meeting a new market and or some other transformation or change in your path, I suspect you're always visiting and revisiting your business model. And I think I remember from our phone conversation, you had talked about a kind of a discipline of making data-based decisions. Could you speak to both of those items, business model and sort of your decision-making disciplines?
Yeah, so, you know, let's ask the question. Why do you do the business? So, yeah, sure. First of all, that you like it, yeah? And the second thing is to, you know, earn the money. So these two things should drive each other. So now, if we would talk about the business model, you should ask yourself, will it be profitable? If it will be profitable, then when is it going to be profitable? So, you know, these type of things, like it's a basic finance thing, you know, ABC. And many people actually are keep forgetting that. So take a blank piece of paper and draw the actual, you know, waterfall, how everything will be executed. And of course, once you will start to execute it, you need to check what is the performance of the actual, you know, item in that waterfall. So that's very important. Then, in terms of the data, you always need to check, you know, if, for example, you are in IT business, you have a lot of data. You have an enormous amount of data. And like, for example, you always need to check your churn rate. You always need to check why this customer canceled the service, why others are, let's say, buying from you more. Then also you need to check who are those clients, how you can grow them, or let's say how you can return them back. So these are the data-driven decisions that you need to make. And, you know, we kind of been ignoring data for a very long time. And, but when we kind of learned that we need to ask ourselves every day the same questions and definitely get the answers, so then we started to work with the data. And we found an enormous amount of data lying just nearby, you know, and many could think, you know, that I need to do marketing, I need to spread that message and stuff like that. But in most of the cases, you know, marketing really burns a lot of unnecessary money for the campaigns, and the reason is that the simply results are not measured. So you definitely need to measure. You need to watch where your clients are, you know, and what channels you need to use based on the data you have. And again, you have a lot of data. Every company has a lot of data. The only question is how to pull it out. That's it.
That is an interesting observation and very insightful, and I'm sure quite true. And I'm operating under the impression that having this data available, exercising the discipline to pull it out, and then make key decisions from that data, that is that part of what drove you to do some things you were talking about earlier in the conversation, where you decided to sort of trim your book of business a little bit and focus on some specific niches because that's where I guess the data was telling you that's where the business is that we want to have, and that's where the revenue's coming from. It's the data that helped you guide that path, right?
Correct. Yes, correct. That's absolutely right. And this is what you need to. You said it right. Discipline. This is what you have to have. Discipline. And discipline. You need to maintain this discipline in order to see what is happening every day. And if you don't see that, if you do not, follow it or monitor it, then, I'm afraid it's not going to be successful and it's not going to be nice. But data, this is what we learned. Learn from the data and make a decision based on data.
I think that's an incredibly valuable lesson. And as you're speaking with me right now, I'm thinking, yes, of course that makes sense in a tech industry, in the media industry, and software. But I mean, that makes sense if you run a lawn mowing yard service. There's data available to you to help you serve your customer more effectively and make your business more effective, more efficient, more profitable. I mean, this is true across any business, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, nowadays businesses are always searching for that business intelligence that you can get. And, these days business intelligence industry is growing tremendously, tremendously. I mean, because people are seeking how to understand their data. And that's very important, you always need to understand what questions you need to ask in order to make those decisions. And, that's why I mentioned, about business intelligence industry, that they actually found a niche, how they can find those answers to those companies, So it's very interesting, very interesting.
So before we wrap, I'd be interested in any insight you might be able to offer in sort of keeping the momentum. So let's say that we're successful at doing some of these things that you've described today, and we build that solid relationship, yep. We earn the trust, and now you're kind of in, maybe this is the wrong word, maintenance, but you're in this mode of you want to continue to meet and exceed your client's expectations. I can almost predict that the answer is going to have the word discipline or routine or process in it, but there must be something that you've learned to do where you keep the trust at a high level and you keep meeting and exceeding customer expectations. So anything you might offer on that before we wrap would be terrific.
So again, meeting your clients is one of the key factors. Monitor your data is another factor. And set yourself to the positive mode. That's the third. But other things will come up by itself. Trust me. I mean, once you will start study your finance books, once you will start studying your clients, their demands, everything will come up automatically. I mean, all those questions will rise up due to the course. Once you will, develop in yourself, the right questionnaire in yourself. So everything else will develop by its own. But those three factors is actually the core of your success.
Well, that's fantastic insight, because what I'm hearing, I think, is that the fundamental discipline here is remain genuinely engaged or invested in your client's success. And when you are, your eyes and your ears are open to things that may be frustrating them, things you could be doing to serve them even more effectively. And like you said, those questions and ultimately those answers will come from just being genuinely invested in their success, huh?
Absolutely, and also what I forgot to mention: do not be afraid of failing.
You know, right.
That's also a thing that you need to admit. You actually need to set yourself, you know, that you're gonna fail at some point. But failure, you know, is the step to your success, because you learn a lesson and you will not repeat it again. So, you know, we failed many times. I mean, we were lazy of looking, you know, into our finances. We were like thinking, oh, you know, we need to do this idea, but we never actually asked our clients, do they like it or not? You know?
Right.
So it's a discipline that you need to educate yourself every day.
Well, this has certainly been educational and informative and inspiring. Before we go, if our listeners wanted to reach out and have a conversation with you or someone on your team about anything we've talked about today or about Host One Plus services, what's the best way for them to reach out, an email or LinkedIn or website, or what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, so we can simply reach out to my email, vincent@hostoneplus.com. So I you know, will be more than happy to answer those questions. And I always like to talk. I always like to get into, you know, good conversation, which would lead to a success.
Well, Vincent Grinius, CEO of Host One Plus, it has been an absolute delight speaking with you this morning. Thank you so much for sharing your insight, and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. It was an honor for me. Thank you very much.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton with Business Radio X. For our guest today, Vincent Grinius, with CEO of Host One Plus, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you next time on High Velocity Radio.